welcome to another episode of Tales from a Vet Tech with me, Tabitha Kucera. Today, we are talking to Michelle Garrigan of Firelink Digital Marketing, all about digital marketing. We explore strategies, tools, and success stories that can transform engagement and impact for animal shelters, behavior businesses, and veterinary clinics. Be sure to tune in for expert insights on leveraging digital marketing to make a difference in the lives of animals and their caregivers. Welcome, Michelle. I'm so stoked to have you here to talk about not one of my favorite things, but it's a big part of my job and many of us out there, digital marketing. So I figured to start, if you could just share with the awesome audience a little bit about your background and what led you to kind of start helping small businesses and nonprofits with their digital marketing efforts.
Sure. First of all, thanks for having me. So my background is actually kind of interesting. I started working in marketing right out of college, and then I went into social work. But my social work degree is actually in nonprofit management, marketing, and communications. So I kind of melded
my
desire to have a career to do good things for good people with marketing and business and all that. So I was actually doing primarily marketing, community outreach in various nonprofit roles, some of which were human services, and then some of them were actually animal welfare, a couple different shelters, and some rescue groups. So I've been involved with animal welfare, I hate to say this, but probably about 30 years.
Yeah.
And then I've also worked for some professional animal trainer associations in admin and also marketing and education roles. And I started my business, I'm going to say 9 years ago. And primarily, I specialize in small business and nonprofits. And I do WordPress websites. I do primarily local SEO, copywriting, social media management and marketing, pay-per-click ads like Facebook ads and Google ads, and things like that. And also just kind of basic like digital strategy consults. And I do a lot of work with people in the pet industry. So like if you go to my website, you'll see like there's a lot of websites for different cat behavior. Like, well, Tabitha,
yes,
one of them.
She now did my website.
Yep. But a lot of cat and dog behaviorists and trainers. I'm actually working on a site right now for a veterinarian. And then I have a bunch of sites I've done for some local rescue groups, which I do those pro bono because I just really like helping groups that don't have the budget.
Yeah, of course. And again, these things are so important and they can be really overwhelming. I remember the first time I heard SEO and I'm like, what? So for those small businesses, including behavior professionals, veterinary professionals, nonprofits that are feeling overwhelmed by the complexities of digital marketing and kind of shut down because I'm that person. What advice would you have for them? Obviously to seek help because it's out there, but anything else that you would recommend?
Well, and the first thing I'll say, I mean, obviously hiring somebody is okay. Since I am one of those people, one of the best ways to go, because you have so many other things to do in your business and things to worry about. And especially if you're involved in any type of animal care, you also have animals to take care of. So you don't want to be learning about the latest things with Google. And I can tell you, as somebody who does SEO, just me myself learning about the latest things with Google's, you know, makes me want to rip all my hair out, especially lately. But another thing I'll mention is, especially if you're a nonprofit, you know, often the budget's not there, but you can write grants to get help with marketing. And actually, one of the services I do now that I mentioned that is I do also do grant writing.
Amazing.
So I do occasionally get clients where they're like, you know, we really want to hire you, but we just don't have the budget. And I'll say, well, let's sit down and talk, because a lot of times you can either, you know, through foundations or like contacting local businesses, you can actually get other people to fund that. But, you know, in general, the biggest thing I'd say, and yes, it is overwhelming. The problem, I think, with digital marketing is there's so many different things you could do, like whether it's doing an email newsletter or doing social media or doing a website, or if you're doing social media, which do you do, Facebook or do you Instagram or TikTok? And it's just like there's so many things. And I think where people fall apart, and this is across all businesses that I worked with, they don't start with the like really, really basic stuff, which is who are you trying to reach? And I think people just don't do it because they're like, oh yeah, I know who I want to reach and I don't need to sit down and do this exercise. But then they end up spending like wasting time, wasting money, marketing to people. Like, and there's a saying in marketing, like if you market to everyone, you market to no one.
Right.
So it's really worth it to sit down, take the time and figure out who is my market? Who do I want to reach? Who are the best people for my service? You know, and narrow it down as much as you can, because the more you narrow it down, the easier it is for you to go, okay, you know, I'm trying to reach, you know, I don't know, dual income couples with no kids, with high incomes who want to spend all their money on, you know, their pug or whatever. And they live in a certain neighborhood of town, or, you know, or they live in a certain part of the internet, like they frequent Instagram or whatever. But like, if you come up with what we call it a client persona, where you literally create a fake person, you know, in your head, you can go, okay, I bet this person spends all their time on YouTube, or, you know, this is somebody who would really do well, you know, reading an email newsletter, or maybe this is somebody who doesn't do digital at all. These are the kind of people I'm going to meet, you know, at my chamber of commerce, local meetup or whatever. But the more you know who that person is, the easier it is to figure out how do I reach those people? And then what's worth it to spend my time on. The other thing I tell people is, you know, say you've done that and you figured out like this client I'm trying to reach, you know, they're on these three social media platforms and they read these magazines or whatever.
Right.
Although, you know, do people still read magazines? Anyway, but you figured out like, okay, there's a couple places I can reach these people. Then you have to sit down and go, okay, how much time do I have to dedicate each week in my business to doing this? How many people do I have? Is it just me? Do I have staff? Do I have volunteers? And then, you know, just be realistic and don't feel like I've got to reach all these places. If you can honestly say I can reach, say I have five places I could reach these people, and you honestly can reach two of them at a quality level, just do the two. Don't make yourself crazy trying to do all five and then like kind of failing at all five. I'd rather see you, you know, capture a few channels that you do really, really well and consistently than doing all of them. And once you're doing, you know, a couple really well, then you might say, you know what, I think I have the bandwidth to take on another. Or if I'm a nonprofit and I know exactly what I need, maybe I could advertise, like say I want to go on TikTok. Maybe I could advertise, you know, I need a volunteer who knows TikTok and knows video editing, or I need a volunteer who's really good at photography, who can do Instagram. But, you know, again, don't make yourself nuts. That's my biggest thing, because usually when I meet with people, they're like I said, they're ready to tear their hair out. They feel like they feel inferior because they're not doing all the things, and you don't have to do all the things to be successful.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good starting point, because of course it's so easy to get overwhelmed. So mm-hmm. I think thinking of your, like for me, for example, when I'm doing social media stuff, I met with Tiffany of Postsistent and we chatted, and she's like, is your goal is your audience, because of course my brain goes everyone, which we all of course want to be accessible to everyone, welcoming, but in the broad spectrum of like marketing, we need to start somewhere.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, caregivers, cat and dog caregivers. And she recognized that I reach a lot of behavior professionals, which I love.
Right.
But things, again, just talking through her, some things I've talked about with you, it just gets your brain going to like, oh, I could start here.
And the way we break it down, so there's two things, there's target market and there's target audience. So target market is kind of that broader, it's not everybody, but it's that, like, if I were to say to you, who do you want to reach? Well, I want to reach people who own and care for cats.
Yeah.
And then target audience is I want to reach people who own and care for cats who are dealing with pain issues, or I want to reach people who own long-haired cats and having issues with grooming and need to provide cooperative care, or I want to reach people who have animals that are fearful and they want to take their cat to the vet, but the cat's afraid. And so like, they're still part of that market,
right?
Their specific audience. So even if you specifically target those audiences, you're still probably going to reach a lot of people in the bigger market who are like, oh, okay, that's actually something I need. Or hey, my friend who has a cat has that issue.
Yes.
People, you know, who own cats or dogs tend to
And I
talk.
think that that's a really good starting point. And then also considering your, because it's cliche, but it's very real, considering your mission statement. Like, because we're like, we have to do, whether again, you know, whether it's me or a nonprofit or a vet clinic, our brains go to everything all the time, which is very problematic and sets us up not to succeed. So I think looking at even what is your mission, because you can't legit do everything. So, hey, we're a smaller vet clinic and we don't have the staff or capacity to do true ER. I am not going to, right? So I think that that's a really good starting point.
I would say too, you know, especially like seeing it, like, and I'm dealing now with a veterinarian who's having that issue. You know, there's so many vets around,
Yeah.
and especially there's so many that are owned, you know, by big companies. So, like, you have to sit down and say, you know, if we're going to market ourselves, who is the ideal client we want coming in the door? And what is it about us that makes us different from the other?
Yeah.
You know, is it our customer service, and or is it that we offer a particular type, like my vet is a orthopedic specialist, or is it that we deal with exotics, or you know, sit down and figure out, like, what makes us stand out from every other vet? And then looking at the clients who come in your doors, the ones that you like and you want to keep coming back, what is it about them that's in common? You know, do they come from a particular part of town, or do they own a particular type of animal, or are they looking for a particular type of care? Or maybe they're coming in because they also want to have drop off their dog and do grooming at the same time as their vet appointment, or, like, you know, whatever. Like, every vet clinic has something that makes it different. They just have to sit down and you know, make that little chart. And again, a lot of times, just people just don't, I'll say to them, you know, pull out a piece of paper or a whiteboard, and you know, and they're like, yeah, you know, like, that just, like, they're like, yeah, I know all that. And I'm like, no, but you don't. Like,
Yeah.
honestly, taking that hour, like, you get everybody together over lunch or pizza and doing that exercise, you will find out that you don't know it as well as you did. And doing it will clarify it much more in your mind.
No, I love that. And I do that a lot now because of awesome friends and colleagues that I have, because I do a lot and it could be really overwhelming and no one can do everything. So I think that's a really good starting point. And then also identifying your niche. What you're really good at, because again, we all have different things that we're better at than others. So that helps us to do that too. Like, for example, fearful pets. I work with a lot of vets who are very skilled at handling fearful pets. And that is something that they should be 100% marketing and showing the value of their practice in that way. So I love that. Where would you say, I'm sure there's tons, but what are some key benefits that animal shelters and vet clinics can derive from implementing digital marketing strategies, whether it's social media, a website?
Right. I think one of the biggest things, what's so great about digital marketing compared to what we call traditional marketing, which is how I started a long time ago, it's way cheaper. You know, obviously it's much cheaper to, like, you know, Facebook, Instagram, they're all free.
Right.
So you can do quite a bit without putting out a great deal of money. The other benefit too is if something changes, you can change it quickly. You know, it's not like years ago you would have to buy, like, a newspaper ad or a magazine ad, and then you're, like, stuck for the week or the month that it's there. So the fact that it's changeable, the fact that it's pretty relatively cheap, you know, and something, you know, again, like graphic design, if you're not a good graphic designer and you're a nonprofit, you can get a Canva professional account for free, which I
So
think a lot of people
Canva's the
don't have.
best. Yes.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't need to know, and I've learned traditional graphic design with all the expensive software, and I used to scoff at Canva, like, this is not real design. Now that I've used it, I'm like, oh my God, you were an idiot. Like, it's just, it makes life so much faster and easier, and it's such a great tool if you haven't gone to design school. So I'm just like, you know, shut your mouth. Canva's great. And the fact that they give that account for free to nonprofits is absolutely awesome. I love that. So, you know, the benefits, I think one of the great benefits is it's very easy to target using social media and a website, because you're writing your message and your story. And like I said, again, you can change it as you need to, you can update it, you know, because it's It's not like your website's set in stone.
Right.
And I think, you know, the benefit too is it's like I said, it's your place to go and develop. Like there's a book that we use called StoryBrand, which I know you're going to ask me a question later about storytelling, but StoryBrand is a great book. The author is, let's say, Douglas or Donald Miller,
I'll make
but
sure.
he goes through the steps of how to write a story about your business or your nonprofit that will pull people in and have them support, you know, whether they want to buy from you or whether they want to give you money or whether they want to come and adopt. And that's, you know, your website is the home for that. And your social media should kind of follow that whole like story plan.
Could you share some insights into the current landscape of digital marketing for veterinary professionals and animal shelters? Because I'm sure since you, and you also work with behavior professionals, so you probably see patterns of common challenges that we all experience. Could you talk a little bit more about those and what you have found that has been helpful to kind of overcome and approach those challenges?
Yeah. I think one of the biggest challenges, and it's not just for animal any business, you know, the algorithms for the social media platforms, they're constantly changing. It's difficult to keep up. It's, you know, you could have one, you know, year where you're getting tons and tons of views on your stuff and then suddenly like they disappear. And kind of the same thing with websites. You know, Google has been doing content updates for I think probably about the past 2 years. But in the last year, especially, where sites that like used to get like tons of traffic are now just tanking completely. And so it's frustrating if it's not your main day-to-day business to keep track of this stuff. Because if you're, you know, if you're a veterinarian and you're doing like social media on the side or your shelter staff, and generally like social media and all that's not like your main part of your job,
Right.
it's hard to keep up. And, you know, for me, like definitely utilizing tools like Canva, you know, making it easy for you to like do templates and things like that. I'd say the other thing I really notice is I find a lot of like sameness in posts. And
Oh, 100%. I
yeah,
know exactly what you
you know, I always tell people the biggest thing you can do, whether it's your website, whether it's your social media, is be authentic and be real. You don't have to have the best graphics around. You don't have the best photos, you know, even like video, you don't have the best production values. But people, you know, want to do business with people. And if people sense that you are being, you know, real and you have a personality and you have a point of view, they're going to, you know, resonate with that. Now, obviously, if you have a point of view, you'll turn off some people and, you know, whatever. You know, that's going to happen. But I think one of the downsides of Canva is that everybody's using like the same templates. And I'm just as guilty too, because I'm like in a hurry and I'm trying to do social media for my rescue group. So, you know, I always say the other thing I'll say too that I notice is, and again, this is something I see in businesses as well, there doesn't seem to be a plan or a strategy to what people post. And
Yeah, for
it
sure.
really makes a huge difference. Again, sitting down and taking that hour or two and going, what message do I want to get out to people? What do I want people to know about, you know, me or my shelter or my vet clinic that's different? And then how can the social media posts and the copy on the website or email newsletter, if we're doing that, you know, continue to serve that message? Because, you know, you have to think, what I think what happens to social media is because it's just posts every day. People think, oh, well, you know, it's just like a daily thing and then it goes away. It's kind of like Snapchat or something. But, you know, if people are looking at your posts over time, you want them to like develop that message. Like they say in the advertising field, you know, you want to keep advertising over and over and over and over again because you want eyeballs in front of it.
Yeah.
And if the message isn't cohesive and it's not following like trying to support a strategy and a story, it's not going to stick in people's minds. Whereas, you know, I'll give you a good example. So like my rescue group, we basically are a group, we're trying to get TNR passed here in my city. So everything that I post is related to that. Even if it's like, you know, hey, it's kitten season, this is why we need TNR. Or
Right.
hey, we've got kittens, come meet our kittens for adoption. Why we have so many kittens? Because we don't have TNR. You know, and again, that's kind of a simplistic version, but I have a main message and strategy. So everything I post relates back to that. And it's not that I can't occasionally stick in like a fun post or, you know, something silly or a video or whatever. But for the most part, what I'm doing is all supporting that. And I see this, you know, whether it's a nonprofit or a business, most people are just posting, you know,
Super, no, I love that.
leaning into the void.
Super generic shit. Just super, super, super generic. Where I'm like, because also, obviously, I have a brand that I've worked very hard to build. And a big part of that is credibility and fun. My vibe is fun and bubble. It's very, like you mentioned, I've leaned into it. I've been doing this for a while now and I've had a lot of help, but it's very Tabitha. Like you can see one of my posts and know this is from Tabitha. And I think vet clinics and animal shelters can 100% do this. And it is so much more engaging and less generic and boring. And also you can make a really big difference. First off, getting clients, getting people to volunteer, getting people to donate is obviously super important. And I think a lot of us are kind of wasting opportunities with these generic social media posts, but also like my mission is to make evidence-based animal welfare positive
Right.
behavior and animal care resources accessible and practical. And it is, that is my, if you're like, Tabitha, what's your, because I've had friends had me write these things down. And it's very clear that that's my goal. And it is very co, like, again, now that we're kind of talking through this, I've had this happen over the years and it's so cohesive. And I would love more veterinary clinics and shelters focusing on like, what's our mission? What do we want to focus on? Hey, we're going to make animal care more like resources more accessible in a fun way. There's so many things we can do. So that's a really good point that you bring up.
And I'd say, you know, another one that I see, and this is more on the shelter side, and well, not so much shelter, maybe more rescues, although it depends. There's a real focus, and like I said, I've been around a long time. When we first started out, like when Facebook first started, it was like, oh my God, we can get on here and post our animals.
Oh gosh.
You know, a lot of the posts were very much the, you know, Sarah McLachlan, the suffering animals. Oh my God, like this dog's gonna die if you don't come adopt it or if you don't donate money. And I really am not thrilled when I still see that. I still see it a lot. It's just I wish people would focus more on the positive aspects of the animal, or you know, whether you're trying to like get money for donations for medical stuff, the whole yes, it's an emotional issue. Yes, you want people to feel bad, but I also want I hate making the animals look like pathetic.
Yeah,
And the
and
thing
the it's
is
the
that
emotional,
it
which
feels it feels like blackmail.
yeah, it's emotional manipulation. And let's be honest, everyone, because I have a big problem with this as well. And unfortunately, it's a really pretty severe problematic pattern in animal welfare where we're all struggling with severe mental health issues due to all these mini traumas that we're seeing every day and like post-secondary stress syndrome and all of these things. And then we choose to then use emotional manipulation in order to, I wouldn't call it marketing because I feel like something else is happening.
It's a form of marketing, but
Okay, because I'm like, I don't know if I would call that marketing.
it's an icky form of marketing.
It's icky,
And
yeah.
yeah, I mean, look, I worked with plenty of animals that had, whether it was medical issues or behavioral issues, where they were hard to find a home for. But you could still look at those animals and say, you know, here are the things that are about these animals that are an issue. But what's great about this animal? You know, maybe it's I was talking to you earlier. So I had a cat who had a lot of handling issues, behaviorally. She was kind of hot and cold, Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I could talk about all those things, and that's not going to make anybody want to adopt her, or someone will adopt her because they feel bad for her, and then they're like overwhelmed by dealing. You know, I always want to be realistic, but I had a friend who's a photographer. We started doing photo shoots of her. Some of them were really like silly, kind of showing her fun side. I started writing these posts about her, like that were just like they were hilarious, and like kind of talking about all the aspects of her that were like, you know, great that she was affectionate, she's funny, and she'd be an awesome cat that's clicker trained. And yes, she's got these other issues, so you know. But here's all the things like why you should adopt her and why you would love her. Unfortunately, I actually ended up talking myself into keeping her to keep her. But I mean, I've done the same thing with like dogs and other cats, where it's like I much rather with people would emphasize the positives of adopting an animal. And certainly you do, again, like you don't want to sugarcoat their issues, but you don't want to use those as a reason to get them adopted. I want people to adopt the animal because I'm like, I'm gonna love that dog.
Right. Not that, again, emotional manipulation is just a dark, there's enough of that. And I find it even more concerning considering so many of us are suffering in this field. And then that is the chosen. It's really concerning to me. And then, of course, transparency and accountability are very important, clear communication. But even with those posts, that's not what's happening. To me, if you're going to ask for money due to medical things, which is very important, explain what that medical thing is. Because another common thing that I hear in animal welfare, and I'm very sensitive to this language and I'm aware of that, is I think, hey, can we focus on, oh, this is Tiffany. She came to us this way. We're working with an amazing veterinary team because we should be highlighting everyone on helping her with this. This is what she's struggling. So again, you're kind of describing what's happening, educating people about the value and importance of progressive, helpful veterinarian care versus being like, someone left her in the garbage and now she's gonna die. Like, just which is not helpful. It's yeah. So I think there's just a lot
No,
of missed
and I think
opportunity.
along with that too, I think it's important, especially if you are like a rescue or a shelter where a veterinarian is helping you out, to shout those people out too.
Please, yes. Build these relationships. Also showcase and that like highlight the importance of rescues working with each other or working with behavior. I consult with a lot of rescues and I'm working with one now. And this cat has, it is even amazing to me how far this cat has came. And I was like, I advised the person I was consulting with, we really need to do marketing on this to showcase, first off, that shelters can get help from people and the success, like those beautiful success stories of like collaboration. And you're doing so much, but you're also making people feel good, but you're also educating and building connections. It's just so important.
And also because too, I mean, to be mercenary about it, if you're supporting the veterinarian that's helping you, they're likely to then share that on their Facebook
Very
page,
much.
Instagram, and then their clients are going to see that and go, "Oh, but I didn't know Doctor, whoever did that with this rescue group." And hey, I need to adopt a cat or I need to adopt a dog. I'm going to check them out. So it's like the more you collaborate, and I say in general too with marketing, especially in the animal field, the more you work with others, and I know it's a big deal because people are always afraid of competition, but the more that it's actually going to come back and help you. And I know, like, for example, in my field, again, like what we were talking earlier, when I started out, I wanted to do everything. And over the course of 9 years, I realized I can't do everything. I'm a small business. There's things I don't like to do, but I have colleagues who do these things. So if I don't want to do Google Ads, I have somebody to send them to. Or if I don't want to do, like, I don't do Squarespace or Wix, I have somebody to send those. And if they get people who want WordPress, they send them to me. And it's kind of the same thing, when I years ago when I actually was a dog trainer, I worked with other trainers all the time because like I used to do a lot of like separation anxiety and shy dog cases, but I hated aggression. And I would send those to them and then they hated those cases and they sent them to me. And I think just, in general, there's always such a fear of competition. But if you can collaborate with others, one, it's going to help your business grow. But in terms of your marketing, it's also going to help you grow because they're going to talk about you to their people who need your service, and then you're going to talk about them to your people who need their service. And it just, you're like that web is like continuing to grow. So I say, a big part to me of marketing, even if I'm mostly doing digital marketing, is networking, whether it's
Yeah,
online
word of
or
mouth
in
is
person.
classic. It will never go away.
And I say that, I mean, if you go to my website, I barely have a website. I mean, 95% of my business is word of mouth.
And I think a big part of that is collaboration, building relationships, being positive to work with, because a lot of mine is also word of mouth. And you want to be that and also, let's be honest, there's enough vet med behavior and there's more than enough than there is us. So we all need each other very badly and we should make it actually makes your job easier. And then as far as like you mentioned, hiring people for more of the marketing things, I'm a solo business owner and I do have quite a lot of gigs and it is very challenging. And sometimes I understand delegating can be challenging for a variety of reasons.
Yes.
But I delegated my website to Michelle, and it's amazing and I love it. I have delegated, I have a VA who's awesome, who makes my handouts pretty, because graphic design is not my jam, and it's going to take her 10 minutes and it's going to take me 3 hours. So delegate, and support other small businesses too, because we all know how hard, both me, Michelle, all of you out there, the struggle is real, and nonprofits are essentially similar vibes. Like, we all need each other's help because we can't do it on our own. And that's a wonderful segue to a lot of animals, especially in animal welfare, understandably, when it comes to having them, maybe because some shelters have like PetSmarts and things they work with, which again, great, beautiful collaboration. But as you can guess, not all animals, is it appropriate for them to maybe go into a store due to their emotional and physical well-being.
Right.
Or they may be, you're working on a behavior mod and managing their medical issues in the shelter setting. So it's even more inappropriate to have them out, or even people maybe meeting them. And this is where the pandemic is horrible. It was horrible. But one thing that happened was, finally, I mean, telehealth medicine and vet med, we still have some issues, but also in shelters, they finally started to understand, a lot of people, the power of online platforms in showcasing and educating people about shelter animals effectively. So when it comes to features that shelters should prioritize to optimize their online presence, and also suggestions in highlighting these animals online, what, I know you have a lot of experience in this, but what would you recommend?
Yeah, and it's funny, I'm actually dealing with this right now because I have a litter of 4 kittens with horrible ringworm, which actually 3 of them are through it. I've got one who's like still a little crunchy on his head. But when I got them, it was like, okay, we obviously cannot bring them to PetSmart, Petco, or any of our other events. So, you know, social media is awesome for that, because what we did was we did a series of kind of photos and videos of what they look like when we first took them in, which was obviously pretty terrible.
Right.
We talked about, you know, well, this is how we treat them and they'll be fine and they'll look awesome. And then, you know, over the course of several weeks, you know, posted additional like I did a whole video like holding the one that was the worst of it, where you could see he looks fabulous now.
Aww.
You know, and seeing, yeah, this is what he looks like now, and this is how we treated it. And, you know, ringworm is not like, it's a big deal if it happens, and, you know, when he's available for adoption. And so, you know, there's a lot of things you can do. And I'll go back to what I was saying about, you know, again, focus on the positives of the animal. And I also really, really urge people to think about video. Usually when I tell people to use video, they never want to do it, because people are like, I don't want to be on camera, I don't like how I look. And it's like, it doesn't matter. Because again, I'll go back to that authenticity thing. You know, people want to see people who look authentic. So, you know, if you're looking frumpy or whatever, doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. But doing videos, you know, you could do videos at home showcasing how the animal acts. You could do videos where you take them out and about and show, you know, what the issues are. You could do videos, like, say it's a medical issue. Maybe you could do a video with the vet explaining, you know, like, this is what the issue with this cat is, and it'll have to take like a certain type of medication for the rest of its life. Or with a dog, if it's a behavior issue, you could, you know, get somebody like Tabitha to sit down and go, you know, explaining, okay, well, this is what this issue is, and this is how, if you adopted this dog, you know, it just education and explaining things so that it don't seem like such a huge deal. You know, but yeah, that's, I think, the great benefit of social media is you don't have to take that animal out. The other thing I'd say too is, this depends on like where you live, but there are a lot of like options. Like, for example, here in Sioux Falls, you know, our local news media, they love having the rescue groups come on.
Yeah.
And they'll do like a Sunday morning news thing where like they rotate every week, and you can bring an animal out there. And again, you know, maybe depending on the issue, you might not want to bring the animal, but maybe you could bring like a picture and you could talk about them. A lot of local businesses here are very open to having animals come out. And again, if the animal's not appropriate, it doesn't have to be digital. You could just do all, you know, old-fashioned traditional, you know, having like a poster of the animal, or maybe do like a slideshow in PowerPoint and run it on a PowerPoint, or show video. You know, there's different ways of doing it. What I always say is, just don't don't think of like the traditional, like, you know, we have Petco and we have PetSmart, or we have the local independent pet store, and you know, those are our options. You know, when I used to do, and actually I'm doing events now, but like when I lived in Los Angeles, the group that I helped work with, we would do events anywhere that had nothing to do with pets. So we would do farmers markets, we would do RV shows, movie theater, like whatever.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we couldn't necessarily bring pets, so we would bring like flyers, and we would bring like the fake stuffed animals that look realistic, like the Melissa Doug dogs and
Oh,
stuff.
yeah, those are great.
So, I mean, we would bring stuff that would make people walk over and go, okay, what's that? And then we could talk to them about the animals and what we do. And sometimes we were just doing this for donations, but we would get adoptions out of it. But like, so here locally where I live, you know, like all the breweries in town, super animal friendly, realtors in town, again, weirdly,
How do
super.
you recommend if a vet clinic or an animal shelter wanted to build a relationship with a business or reach out to the news to get highlighted? Because I would love to see more veterinarians being highlighted on the news because the
Yeah.
misconceptions out there, woo!
A
How
lot
would
of
you
it is
recommend that?
literally just, you know, contacting them, you know, go on their website. There's usually like a contact form or like a general email, you know, and emailing them and saying, hey, you know, I'm a local vet. I'd love to do, you know, most cities have like a lifestyle type morning
Right.
thing where they're begging for content. And usually pet content, they love pet content. So like here again, like locally, I have a friend who's a trainer who's on regularly. I have a friend who's a pet sitter who's on,
Love
and they
it.
love having them come on because they'll bring a dog or a cat or whatever. So, you know, again, most of these places are dying for content. And if you contact them and say, you know, I'm so and so from so and so vet clinic or shelter, and these are the things I'd like to talk about, and I could bring animals, or if not, you know, I don't have to have animals. Like I can accommodate whatever you need. You know, the best way to do it is if you have like a some way of like a personal connection, or like, you know, they say
Course.
the six
Yeah.
degrees of Kevin Bacon, like find a connection to a connection to a connection. So one thing you could try is see if you have like a local chamber of commerce, either contacting them or joining that, because usually all the news stations belong to that. Or just, you know, posting on Facebook, you know, like, hey, does anybody know so and so at so and so news? You know, sometimes it doesn't work, but usually it works for me.
Yeah, and it takes a second, and I love you've told me a lot about, and I still need to do it. As a again, as a behavior business or a veterinary clinic or a shelter, how helpful these working with your local chamber of commerce or work related, like local business related things, which I never looked. There are quite a lot, and in many cases, there are no anything animal. There are no vet people. There is no shelters. There's no behavior professionals involved in these organiz like involved in the Chamber of Commerce, where you can learn a lot about business and things that maybe aren't a lot of our favorite things.
And I'll say, I mean, not every chamber of commerce is as active as they should be. But like again, I'll give an example of mine. There's only two pet businesses. One's a pet store and the other is my cat rescue group.
Yeah.
We're the only rescue group. But they do vendor fairs twice a year. We're always at it. They love us because we bring kittens. You know, when a business fair is pretty boring. So you know, going from insurance table to bank, what,
Right.
I got kittens. So we get a ton of donations from that. We're actually doing a ribbon cutting next month, and
Oh,
we have a
amazing.
location. So we asked a local business. It's actually a boat store. Like, hey, would you host us? And they were like, sure, because that means people are going to come through their doors and see their boats. And actually, every other they're a boat and car dealership. Every other car dealership in town is promoting a shelter except for them. So they're like, okay, yeah, like come on in.
Love
So,
it.
but yeah, like again, I'll say I'm working now with a veterinarian where I was like, you need to join the Chamber of Commerce because you'd be the only vet and you go to these mixers and these meetings. And I'm telling you, like, as hard as it is you think to network, the second you mention you're a vet, that's it. Conversation's super easy because
Yeah.
everybody has a dog or a cat or a hamster or whatever, and they love to talk about that. So, but I do think, you know, yeah, often pet professionals don't ever think about traditional business type venues. And if you go to them, I mean, you would stand out. And usually these people like they're tired of talking to like, you know, 10 insurance agents. Talking to somebody who works with dogs or cats all day. Oh my God, that's amazing.
It's on my to-do list, and I have talked to a few people looking into it. And I talked to someone that owns a local donut company and some other. And to be honest, it was really nice as where we're out here, real talk, struggling because we're hustling constantly. It's just plus our jobs are really emotional. It was super awesome and interesting to receive an outside perspective about because business is business, right? There are like marketing and business, there are things that apply to all of us. And just having a few conversations with you, conversations with a few people, because we do tend to surround ourselves, which is not bad, but we tend to surround ourselves with other behavior professionals, animal welfare professionals, and getting a viewpoint of how this business markets can make your rescue get so many more donations, volunteers, engagement. I think building community is so important for every business, but especially all animal welfare, vet med. And these are awesome ways, the Chamber of Commerce, reaching out to the news, all these lovely tips that you're giving. Love it. And I know we mentioned Canva, and I'll throw that book in there too. And I'll be sure to, because I'm sure Michelle has lots of fun things
Oh,
that
yeah.
I'll put in the show notes. But are there any specific tools or technologies that you feel should be considered to adopt, essentially adopting to enhance their digital marketing efforts?
Well, I'll say one thing. Every business should make sure they have a well-optimized Google Business profile, whether you're a shelter or a rescue or a veterinarian, they're free, which is great. And often when I see them, they're like barely filled out. More and more on Google search, it's becoming like localized, and you'll see what those profiles come up before like the rest of the search on the page, which is called organic search. So the more you fill that out, the more you go out and solicit for reviews, like the more you add photos and pictures and all that, the more that's gonna like help you. And it's also gonna help like traffic, to go to your website. You can also link like your social profiles to it. So definitely in this day and age, if you don't have a Google Business profile, get one. And if you do have one, take a good hard look at it. Did you fill it out completely? You have 750 words to write a description. And most times like people write a sentence. I'm like, no, use all 750.
And that's a great way to practice. Hey, you practice those awesome exercises Michelle mentioned. You took some notes. You could ChatGPT is our friend when we are trying to. So it's your words. We're not copying and pasting. We're making it genuine. But you could throw it in there after those first exercises Michelle mentioned, and then make it
You
your
know what?
own.
I just found out about this tool,
Ooh, tell me, tell me.
and I'm gonna let me find it. It's called Rescue Writer.
Oh, I haven't heard about this one. Yay.
I have so many URLs, but it's basically like Chat GPT. I'll find the link and I'll send it to you. You can put it in your
Thank
show notes.
you.
But it's basically like Chat GPT, but for writing like animal descriptions for adoption.
Oh, snap. That's
I want to say
amazing.
it's either through PetSmart Charities or Petco, but I tried it out. So you basically you check off like a couple characteristics, like happy, excited, whatever, and then you can type in a couple other things. So like I did one for my cat Hal. So Hal's like a really big fat cat. So I just typed in, he's fat, and then I wrote that I wanted it in tone funny, and it spit out the description. It was really good. It talked about how he liked to go out and get cheeseburgers, and it was well written. It was funny, and I was
Very
like,
engaging
yeah.
and
And I'm like, and I mean, usually I like to write descriptions myself, but I just you have to sit there and go, what do you want to spend your time on? Writing descriptions is really not it, especially because like our rescue right now is basically like two people. So I think the things like with like AI, like, and again, same thing with Canva. In the beginning, I was like, I'm not going to use that. Like, I'm a real writer. But you know what? Like, that stuff's great. And obviously, yeah, you want to like edit it to your tone of voice, but it makes it things like so much faster. So ChatGPT is a good one. I'm going to put a shout out for Bing Copilot,
Okay.
which
Ooh.
I actually just used this to write a website for a client who just was like, I could care less about the copy. And
I appreciate their honesty.
based on what their business is, they had a good reason for it. So I was like, okay, But it was amazing how well written it was, you know, and I only had to do a couple tweaks here and there. And I find it a little bit easier to use than Chat GPT, and the interface is a little bit nicer. And then, yeah, Canva, if you have a nonprofit, if you haven't gotten your Canva thing for free, you definitely do that. If you don't know how, you email me, I'll tell you. It's pretty easy. I think the other thing I would always recommend to people if you're doing social media is using a scheduler. There's tons of them out there. I would say no one of them is like they all have their pros and cons, so it's more like personal preference.
Right.
I use one called Poobler,
Can you
and
spell that? Poop. That's a fun name.
Publer. It's Poobler.io.
Thank you.
I think I like it because their pricing is pretty good,
Oh, gotcha.
but I also like that. In addition to all of the top social media platforms, it'll also post a Google Business Profile, which I like because I do that a lot. And I like the interface. But I mean, there's Hootsuite, there's Later, there's Buffer, there's so many of them. To me, it's a matter of like what your budget is and which interface you like the best. I mean, and again, like what platforms you want to post to. But using a scheduler will save you so much time. And the other benefit is, if you use like the native like Facebook app or Instagram app, the statistics, the analytics, you only get them for a certain amount of time and then they go away. If you use a scheduler program like Hootsuite or Poobler, you'll get like a much like longer period
Oh.
of time of where you can see. And again, I'm saying this, most people don't even look at their analytics, which is another, you know, big no-no. You really should look and see like
To
what.
see what's working, what's not working, what you should put your time into. Love that.
Yeah. So I mean, if again, you could just use the native. Most of these platforms do have a scheduler, which I think people don't know about as well. So they'll just be posting every day, and it's like, no, spend like an hour or two a week or a month, and just do all your posts at once, because it seems like a lot to sit down and do it, but then you don't have to worry about it for the rest of the month or the rest of the week or however you do your schedule, and it just makes your life easier.
Love it. And then as far as email marketing, which is a huge thing that's been around for a long time, how do you feel like animal shelters and veterinary and
Yeah.
behavior businesses can
I think
utilize those?
in general, email marketing gets overlooked. And I'm not really sure why. Like everybody wants to be like on TikTok or whatever, but
Yeah.
email marketing is a great low-cost way to market. And the benefit of it over like social media is people have already opted into your list. So that's a warm, what we call a warm list of people who have already said, I'm interested in seeing content from you. As opposed to you put a post on social media, not everybody's gonna be like, maybe they click like on your thing or whatever, but they didn't take that extra step of commitment to actually put their email in. So yeah, I want to be on this list. I want to get stuff from these people. So I think email marketing is great. It's pretty easy and cheap to do. Most of the free services have started to like raise prices or like kind of cut down on what their free plan is. But in general, you know, even just starting with like the lower cost plans, you can still do marketing fairly cheaply and very targeted. And it's a way where you can kind of get longer form content in that, and again, you don't want to put like huge articles in the email, but you can do like, you know, a paragraph about like something on your website or about an event coming up or something you need for a donation or an animal, and kind of get that in there. Whereas that would kind of get lost, you know, in a Facebook or Instagram post, because that text gets, you know, cut off at a certain point. And the great thing about email marketing is, you know, if you send it out, you can see like how many people are opening it, how many people are clicking on links. Like it kind of can help you like further refine that list. And most programs will let you know, refine the list further and segment it. So you can tag it, you know, like these people joined because they donated for a dog, or these people are definitely cat people, or these people came in because they came to an event, or these are past adopters, or you know, these are vet, you know, clients who have cats or have dogs or whatever. It's a really nice way of further like breaking down those targeted audiences for very little money.
Love
The
it.
downside of email marketing is you have to write the emails. And the other thing is, if you're going to do it, be consistent, you know, do it on a schedule, because if you start, I've seen this happen so many times where people are like, all right, here's our first newsletter, and we're going to come out
Yeah.
monthly. And then they send one out and then they've sent one out maybe 6 months later, and then maybe a month later, and
I
then
have
maybe
definitely done that.
yeah. And I mean, I have too. So, I would say if you're going to do it, write a couple,
Good idea.
and if you have time sensitive info, you could add that in, but have like some generic things that you want to market, that you're going to market, doesn't matter what time of year. Write a few of them, get a schedule, decide, am I going to do this monthly? Am I going to do it like every 6 to 8 weeks? It doesn't have to be monthly, or doesn't have to be weekly, but it has to be consistent, because people, that warm audience is the type of audience who's going to notice. I'd say the other downside with email marketing is a lot of people who do it, they go the opposite. And when you'll get like one email the first day and then two emails the second day,
Oh,
and
yeah, a lot
yeah,
of emails.
don't do that, because that's the fastest way to get like kicked off someone's like email.
100%
And I
love it.
think that's part of why email marketing has a bad reputation, because there's a lot of people who do it very badly and make it annoying. But if you're doing it, once a month or every other week or something, and that you're giving people value. If your email is just sell, 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 that's going to turn off clients immediately. But if you're like the newsletters that I keep are the ones where there's like a snippet in there talking about, like regularly they'll talk about something with Google where I find it helpful, or like I get a lot of emails with grant writing stuff and animal welfare stuff. If there's stuff in each, maybe not each email, but most emails where it's a helpful nugget of info, I'm going to keep, subscribing to it. But if it's something where like clearly all they're going to do is sell to me, like boom, you're dead to me.
And you could repurpose because
Right.
my plan is to, I mean, I was, and then things got mental. And you have to, real life, like Michelle mentioned and I mentioned, we have to prioritize and we sometimes can't do everything. But one of the things I already have so much content. So I was just like, oh, hey, I could easily do a newsletter, share my upcoming events, which a lot of them are free because I do them for other orgs, but also share like, for example, I just recently, I literally did three posts on medication tips. So, hey, my VA could take that. It's already made and
And
just put it in there. So you don't have to
I
like
went out
rewrite.
and I bought capsules for the pills.
Oh, yay!
So,
Those
as
things
I
are the
will say,
best.
and as you're bringing that up, one of the other biggest tips I will give to nonprofits or to, understaffed small businesses, repurpose your content. Don't feel like everything has to be a brand new thing. You could go out and film a video, and you put the video on YouTube, and then you can get like a free transcript of it. You could take that transcript and turn it into a blog, and then you could cut that transcript up and make several like social media posts. And you could take those posts and you could put them on your Google Business profile, and then you could take the posts and maybe you could make a slideshow. Take that content that you have and reuse it and refresh it. Don't everybody, I get this a lot where like I'll tell people like, it'll really help you to write a blog, for your website for SEO. And they're like, oh, well, I don't know what to write because everybody's written about, the usual things with puppies or, puppy socialization or whatever.
Right.
Like, yes, there's God knows a million articles on the website about puppy socialization. I'm not the website, the internet. But there's no articles on there written by you with your unique perspective. So it doesn't have to be some fresh, brand new, awe-shattering idea. It can be an idea that everybody's talking about, but you're talking about it from your viewpoint and your case studies or your experiences or your anecdotes or whatever. Don't feel like it has to be something. It just has to be different, in that it's different, that it's coming from you.
No, I think that that's I learned that way too late and literally like this year. Thankfully I have so much fucking content.
Yeah, you do.
What podcasts, articles, social media, video, I record everything I do because I'm a teacher. But I had to have multiple friends tell me, Tabitha, what are you doing? You have no time as it is. You know you could just do this with this in 5 seconds. And I'm like, this so it seems so simple, and it is, and you need to do it because I was way late to the game.
Yeah. And the other content tip I'll give too is don't forget about what we call user generated content.
Ooh.
Content from your clients, content from your adopters, reviews. Ask if you have clients who are really happy with your service, ask them, would they do video? showing like how they taught their pet to, like, maybe, if I get inspired, I'll do a video showing me, like, giving my cats pills from your videos. Or, like, say their dog went through some special treatment, or they finished chemo and they
Oh,
survived
I
cancer,
love that.
whatever. Most people, if you ask them, will be like, oh my God, yeah, I'd love to. Don't that, and then that's content for your website. It's content for your social media. And you didn't have to do any work because the client did it. But one, it saves you time because it's content not generated by you. It's content that reinforces your mission. It's positive content and it's authentic content because it's content like real people. So yeah, don't like anytime somebody writes a review for me, I mean, that's an immediate Facebook post. It's an immediate Instagram post. It goes on the website. And I definitely with the rescue, that's something we've talked about is having people who have adopted or people that we helped with, trapping cats or whatever, either writing a review or if they're willing to, doing a video and talking about it.
No, I love that. And I love the idea of having volunteers share their experiences because that's a whole separate podcast episode. But a lot of this can, there are so many tips that you shared that can help not only get more funds, get more animals adopted, but also help to build your community of volunteers because, vet professionals are super important. People that are walking the dog, everyone's important. But I think sometimes we forget that there are so many skill sets out there. Especially nowadays, I feel like there are a lot of people who care about animal welfare and don't aren't vet techs or you know what I mean, don't have that background, but they're like fucking amazing. Like Michelle has that background, but also she's amazing at marketing, which is a whole separate skill. Or
And I mean, a perfect example. So I used to work with like really large dogs, and then I had a back injury, and I was like,
oh
okay, I
no.
can't. Well, I'm fine now,
Yeah.
but like holding a leash and dealing with crazy Atlanta pitbulls, like,
Yeah.
yeah, I don't really think I want to do that. But what can I do to help? I can do websites for people. I can
Yes.
social media. I can do marketing. And I think you're exactly right. There's so many ways that people can help. Like a good example of the TNR group, we're trying to get people to sew cat covers
Love
for their
it.
patients. Like there's so many things that people can do to help, and you want to create that feeling of community and openness where they can contact you and say, hey, like we get like a lot of times we'll get people who are like they want to come and help work with animals, and like we don't have a shelter, we're foster based, but we'll say, okay, well, and usually it's younger people. We'll say, you know what, we have events at Petco and PetSmart. You could come and hang out. And you could, play with the kittens and help socialize them. And maybe you can help us with setup. And like,
Provide opportunities when they reach
right.
out. Don't just say no.
No.
Yeah.
And I want to create through the social media and through the website a sense that I as a person could approach and say, hey, I don't have the skill set, but I want to help. How could I help? And then we'll say, okay, well, what do you do? And what are your skills? Usually we can find a way they can help.
I love it. I love it so much. So many amazing tips. I'm already thinking of things I should be doing because this is how all of our amazing brains work. We're always striving to do more and better, but also take care of yourselves. So I like to end the podcast by always asking my guests just what is something that currently brings them joy? It could be, you can't see, but Michelle has some beautiful blue hair. It's a great color on her. Or it could be your coffee this morning. I'm on my third cup. And I'm very thankful for it. But what's something that currently brings you joy, Michelle?
Well, I mean, my pets
Of
always,
course.
my many, many foster cats.
Michelle stays busy.
Oh, I have. Well, if you check me on social media in another week, you will see I have this awesome cat tattoo where the line work was done and it's getting colored in next week. But it's all my cats drawn in anime style
That's amazing.
on my arm. So it will make me happy while he's coloring it in, but it will bring me joy afterwards. Oh, and my biggest thing tonight, after 10 years, the sequel to Dragon's Dogma video game, that will be bringing me joy.
Ooh, that's amazing.
Yes, I'm super psyched. I started loading it last night. I'll be ready
You're like,
tonight.
I'm preparing. Well,
Yes.
thank you so much for all of your amazing knowledge. I will be sure to check out in the show notes FireLink Digital Marketing, as well as some of the resources that Michelle kindly recommended throughout the episode. Thank you so much again, Michelle.
Right, thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this journey into the world of digital marketing for nonprofits and small businesses. We explored so many valuable strategies and tools to help increase adoptions, donations, and engagement with our caregivers and clientele. So remember to like, subscribe, and please share if you enjoy this podcast with your fellow animal professional friends. Thanks, everybody.